Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, where, as always, we're working on your financial freedom. I'm your host, Mike Harrison. Happy Sunday, everybody. I hope you're enjoying your weekend. Believe it or not, as soon as I'm done with this show, I will be driving my baby girl to camp in East Texas. So, yes, the world is returning to some form of normalcy. So, I think I'm as excited as she is. Well, I've got a great show dialed up for you today, so I hope you can listen for the entirety. I do have a guest, and as soon as I booked this guest, I was very excited and happy to be able to have her on the show. And what we're going to talk about today is property management. And the primary thought that I want to get through to the listener today is a lot of folks do not invest in real estate for one simple fear, and it's the management side of the business that really, it's a false fear, and I hope to dispel a lot of those myths today, but they're just afraid. All they know is tenants, taxes, and toilets, and that is not the case when it's done properly. And so we're going to talk about whether you can self-manage or whether it's better to hire professional management. So today's show, without further ado, I would like to welcome Leah Slaughter to the show from OmniKey Realty. Leah, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. I knew when I saw you speak at the expo in February that I just had to have you on the show today. So, let's just start off with the million-dollar question. How's a nice girl like you end up in property management?
You know, it's a long story, but my husband and I co-founded a property management firm at 18 and 19, and we started day one working in property management. How we got into it, I really don't know. The only thing we knew when we got into this business is that we wanted to work with rental properties, and we thought that it would be extremely lucrative, and we knew there was going to be a big push for it. We saw a lot of signs of what the market was doing. And yep. We knew a lot of people getting loans that never should have been getting loans. And so, you know, within being in the business 2 months, we were talking about the fact that the market was going to crash. And so we knew that rental property was going to be king. And, you know, in addition to that, we were kind of looking at traffic patterns and things for Dallas and the growth that we were seeing here. And it just kind of fell in our laps. And so it's all we've ever done.
Wow. So when you say 18 and 19, you're not talking about 2018, because I know you've been doing it longer than that. You're talking about when you and your husband were 18 and 19, you got into property management.
That's correct. Yep. Wow. Right out of high school.
Wow. That's an incredibly mature thought, I think, for an 18 and 19 year old. So congratulations. That's fantastic. So Leah, you may be one of the more popular vendors within Lifestyles Unlimited. Anytime I talk to one of our members that's utilizing your services, they just can't say enough great things about you. I want to ask you this. Did you find Lifestyles Unlimited, or did Lifestyles Unlimited find you?
Lifestyles Unlimited found me. We actually, one of our customers was a mentor with Lifestyles, and we had been managing for him for years, and he tried to bring me on for a while. And we were so busy that it kind of fell to the back burner. And then finally he's like, hey, we could really use you guys. And so we joined, and I want to say that was 6 or 7 years ago, and it's been fantastic. We love our lifestyle family.
Excellent. So what percentage of your clients would you say are members of Lifestyles versus non-members?
Probably 15%. I'd have to run numbers, but probably about 15% of our customers are Lifestyles.
Okay. So, and you're managing properties where?
We manage about 75% of Texas at this point. So main metros, we cover Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, Houston, Abilene, College Station, Tyler, Sherman. We're pretty much everywhere, except we avoid the very, very tip top on the west side, and we avoid the border on the west side down south.
Gotcha. So, no El Paso, obviously. Hard to tell.
Not Lubbock, yet.
Okay. Not yet. I love it. Lubbock, Amarillo, is that included in the equation at this time?
Lubbock will probably be later this year. That's the plan. The way that we expand is we use a rotating basis, and so we've got people in field that constantly are circling the state for our maintenance and repairs. And then on the ground, we have leasing agents and kind of on hands-on staff. And then all corporate functions for one point of contact are located at our corporate office in Plano. And so expansion is very easy, but also very complex. And so we don't want to ever commit to an area until we can hit it 100%. And we've been asked to go to Lubbock a few times now, and so we're in discussion.
Wow. You almost sound like Dale Walmsley. He could expand and open 30 locations tomorrow if he wanted to, but he says, I'm not going to do it unless I'm doing it right. And so he's real conservative when he opens a new lifestyles office. And then East Texas, this signal goes all the way to Tyler Longview. Are you're touching East?
That's actually one of my favorite areas. And personally, I invest a lot in that area as well.
Outstanding. So not only are you a vendor, you're also an investor. How long have you been buying properties?
Oh, I've been buying properties almost since the beginning. Heavy, high volume like we do now, we've been doing for a few years. We, prior to coronavirus, buy between 10 and 20 units a month.
Wow. So did the property management come first? I know you said you and your husband were 18 and 19, or did buying properties come first for y'all?
So we bought our first house at 18 about a month before we got into property management. And we turned that one into a rental a couple of years later, and that was our first rental. So property management came first, but we were homeowners, and then we kind of saw the writing on the wall, turned that one into a rental. And, of course, I sold that one for a great profit. You buy in the right time, and it's just kind of flourished from there. So we buy most of Texas. My favorite kind of areas to deal in are the outlying suburbs. And so, like, Waco, Sherman, Longview, Tyler, those types of areas I love. But I've got quite a few in the city as well, and we buy both single and multifamily.
Real estate is just so giving. So, Leah, when we come back, I want to get into why property management versus self-managing, the advantages of using a professional. So we'll be right back in a moment with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Mike Harrison. We'll be right back after a short break.
Dale Walmsley talks about buying your way back from corporate America through real estate.
A massive change in my life. My personal residence I lived in was a one-bedroom condo, cost $425 a month. This covered it. My automobile car payment was only $300 a month. This covered it. I was buying my way back from corporate America. I could feel it.
Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your way back from corporate America. Get in control. Get into our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Mike Harrison. I have on today's show Leah Slaughter with OmniKey Realty. We're talking about property management within the real estate investing world. And if you have any questions at all about property management or real estate investing, I encourage you to give us a call. Our number is 855-497-4335. That's 855-497-4335. Or shoot me an email. If you don't want to be on the air, I'm happy to respond to each and every email I get. That's askmike@luinc.com. askmike@luinc.com. I'm here to help answer your questions and dispel any fears you have about real estate investing. And on to what may be the number one fear of folks that prevents them from buying properties, the management side of the properties. Because there's people that have tried real estate, they've tried it wrong, and they're happy to tell everybody they know, their cousin, their brother, their neighbor, their best friend, what a terrible experience they had because of this, this, and this. And then the problem is you did it wrong. So, Leah, let's talk about why someone should use professional property management on their properties.
Definitely. I think there's a few different things that we look at when we try to help someone decide whether or not they need self-management or professional management. The probably biggest piece that is the biggest deciding factor is whether or not you want to spend your time doing it. And I think that a lot of people think that it's very time consuming, and it can be, but sometimes you have the perfect tenant and the perfect property, and it's a great recipe for self-management. And then sometimes you have a property that maybe is a little bit more difficult, or a tenant that's a little bit more difficult, and it's just the gift that keeps on giving. And so one of the first things I tell people is you've got to decide whether or not you want to give up your time. One thing that I say a lot is you don't want to give up your six-figure job to go work a job that you could pay me $80 a month to go do.
Yeah.
So I think that's a real important piece to figuring out whether you want to do it yourself or whether you want to hire someone else. I also think that it's a personality thing as well. You know, a lot of people, they can be very kind and very giving and very gullible. And tenants can be very dishonest. And so it's important when you go into a tenancy relationship with someone, if you're self-managing, that you can separate your personal emotions and treat it like a business. And most people, when they bring us properties, we're known as the fixers. So people often bring us a problem property or a problem tenant. And it always goes wrong 99% of the time in one place. And that's because they got too friendly with their tenant. They didn't treat it like a business.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to have a hard time kicking someone out Christmas week because that happens to be when the court sets the date, you probably shouldn't be self-managing.
Right. And it's interesting that you bring the personality side to it, because you absolutely do need to separate it and create it as a business. We're property owners and we run it as a business. And there are times when you need to make tough decisions. I've had to do it. But yeah, that's a great point, because I think a lot of folks don't understand, as soon as they forgive one little iota in the lease. You know, for instance, the tenant says, hey, I'm going to be late. Is it okay if I pay on the 10th? And as soon as that owner says, sure, then that entire lease is null and void. So I guess, Leah, you get a lot of folks that come to you to fix these properties. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, we do. You know, we have people, and a lot of people don't follow the lifestyles model. So they'll buy a property. They don't really know what's wrong with the property. They'll put a tenant in there. They don't really know how to screen a tenant. And then they come to us on the back end, and there's a whole variety of things that can come up. You know, you put someone in there, you don't know they're a sex offender, or maybe you didn't verify their employment and they don't really have a job. They just had the money saved up for move-in. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that can happen. And when we look at what's going on right now, we're in unprecedented times. There's so many laws to stay on top of. And so one of the things that I look at when I'm trying to figure out whether or not someone should self-manage or not is, do you have the time and the desire to take on another career? Because it is, you know, it's something that you need to be up to date on the laws. We've got the CARES Act going on right now with the coronavirus. There's property code in Texas and all sorts of things. And for us, it's very easy to navigate. And for someone who just only has a few properties and they're trying to make that decision, you have to decide whether or not you want to become a second business runner. And so, you know, it's everyone's personal choice. I certainly want professional property management for my properties, and that's why my company manages my properties too. And so, you know, at the end of the day, if you don't mind being woken up at 2 a.m. because there's a leak, then property management may be something great for you to do. But if you say to me, I really just want to be hands off, I just want to get my money every month, and you call me if there's something that you can't do without me, then a property manager is perfect for you.
Yeah, that's a great point. And to break it down, a lot of folks, they join and they look at, or they're just looking to invest in real estate and they've got a lot of time. And then you have another crowd that has a lot of financial capability, but they don't have a lot of time. So that's a great point. Don't give up your six-figure job to take on a job that somebody with, I guess, let's say an economy of scale has. I mean, you're doing things on a level that somebody that owns three houses just can't do. You've got, I'm sure, maintenance personnel and leasing agents and that sort of thing. So, Leah, how can a listener get a hold of you?
Our number is 833-OMNIKEY, O-M-N-I-K-E-Y, and our website is omnikeytexas.com.
OmniKeyTexas.com. Leah, you had mentioned the laws as well, and I came to listen to you speak at one of the classes that you did at the expo. Why don't you touch on a few of the things that are changing out there? Again, maybe a reason for somebody to hire management, because folks don't understand. I thought the service animal thing was pretty interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that have happened in the last year, even before coronavirus. And so we saw some flexibility and some teeth that were given to property managers and landlords back at the end of last year about the difference between emotional support animals and service animals. And so a lot of people don't realize that emotional support animals were basically treated the same as an animal that performed a service. And so what we were seeing is that tenants were trying to get their pit bulls and other aggressive breed dogs that we wouldn't allow into properties by claiming them as being emotional support animals. And what happens when it's an emotional support animal or a service animal for that matter, you can't treat it as a pet. So there's no pet deposit, there's no monthly pet fees, there's no anything. And yeah, you can't even call it a pet, it becomes a tool. And so these online companies started where someone could go on and give them $10 or $20 and get a certificate saying that their animal was an emotional support animal. And it was really out of control. And so the government actually stepped in, and one of our high officials wrote and penned a letter saying, no, these are not going to be allowed. The person that is, you know, saying that this emotional support animal is needed must have direct knowledge of not only the animal and what it does, but also the person and what their medical conditions are. And so it even went so far as to say that they should investigate these websites that are preying on low-income individuals with these certificates. And so we got a lot of teeth with that. And then we saw a whole bunch of changes around coronavirus and eviction filings. And so, you know, it's been interesting navigating it, and every state is different. And so Texas, I think, has done an excellent job being middle of the road, but still landlord weighted. And so there was federal guidance that came down in the CARES Act, which basically said if you have a federally backed mortgage, which a lot of investors, they do Fannie Mae for their first 10 doors.
They're pushing us out. We're going to pick up right there when we come back. This is the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Mike Harrison.
Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Mike Harrison. I have an expert within property management here in Texas on the show today. If you have any questions about property management of single-family real estate investment properties, our number is 855-497-4335, 855-497-4335, or you can email me at askmike@luinc.com. Leah, that brings up a point. I meant to ask you earlier, do you only manage single-family properties, or do you also do apartment communities?
We do. So we go up to 100 units for apartments.
Interesting. Okay, that's normally a line that most, I'd say a large percentage of property management companies are single-family homes only. So apartments brings in a whole other dynamic, obviously, and maybe we need to pick that up in a little bit. But I want to continue. When we got kicked off at the end there before the break, you had mentioned how COVID essentially has affected both your operations of your business and maybe some economic effects. You want to pick back up there?
Definitely. Yeah. So the biggest difference that we've had to kind of fight through is the eviction changes. And so a lot of investors use these Fannie Mae loans. And right now there's a moratorium on evictions of those Fannie Mae loans. And so it's been interesting navigating that. Now, originally there was kind of a stay on all evictions for a period of time, but that has since lifted. So we've been everyone who we needed to get to court. We've either got court dates or we've already actually been to court on cases. And so, you know, the thing, there's been a precedent set now of when mortgages can have these moratoriums. And so the most important thing is making sure that you don't set that precedent with your tenant that they can pay late, because it's a very slippery slope once they start. You know, that old saying, you give an inch, you take a mile.
Yes. Yeah. And it's some people just have that personality. You give them something and they just push.
Exactly. And the other big difference that we have really kind of had to fight through is maintenance and our walkthroughs. And so we've got a total team of almost 50 And so we've got every type of maintenance request you can think of, everything from as small as a cabinet not closing right to house flooding. And so, you know, when COVID started, a lot of people didn't want to allow access, but luckily we were considered essential and we were able to do so with proper protection and gear. And we also do quarterly visits at every property we manage. We do it for a few reasons. Number one, we want to make sure the tenant's taking care of the property and they're not overlooking issues. But we also want to make sure that we can address any issues so that it's in great shape when it's time to re-rent, because we market the last 2 months of the lease. And so everything is very symbiotic with each other. And so we halted walkthroughs for a few weeks just to get over kind of the hump of the worst of the crisis. And then picked right back up. And I expected a lot more pushback from our tenants on letting us in for those routine visits.
Yeah.
But we really only had a few complain. And so overall, everything that's happened with COVID and the property management side, it's been very negligible for us. But I think it's because we run a very tight ship and everyone knows what to expect from us. And so COVID really didn't change any of that.
Okay. So some slight changes essentially for you operation-wise. What about economic effects? And I guess where I'm going is, was there a huge, and I hear this all the time from people that don't invest in real estate, they say, well, Harrison, I bet you're taking a bath. It doesn't seem like anyone's paying their mortgage. It just politically, there's a lot of noise out there from politicians trying to give a forgive the right to pay your mortgage. And don't get me started, but you know, they're not telling the gas stations they have to give away free gasoline. They're not telling the grocery stores they have to give away free food. But they're telling the property owners that they have to give away a free their free service, which is essentially the ability to live in a nice place if you're following our model. I didn't mean to hijack the show there. But economic effects, did you see a lot, a big uptick? What happened there?
So we really didn't. The first month, April, went a lot better than we expected. We were hearing calls for 20%, 30% delinquency. We didn't see anywhere near that. About 85% of our rents were paid as they needed to be, or right thereabout. And then we had about another 10 to 12% that did double payments. So what we did is we split the payment in two, and we said, pay half on the first, half on the 15th, because our rule is anytime someone has to pay late and it's unavoidable, we want to make sure they're paying for the time that they use. And it really went off almost without a hitch. And so I would say between 2 and 5% of our tenants really struggled. And, you know, the fact that they're making more on unemployment than they were at their previous jobs for a lot of them helped. And then in addition to that, what we noticed is the majority of the tenants who defaulted were tenants we inherited, not the tenants we were replacing. And, you know, again, a lot of properties we take over, they have tenants in place, and we can't do new leases, and we can't get new tenants until it's time. And so looking at my own personal portfolio, I did not have a single tenant that I placed have to be evicted, only the tenants that I inherited. And I had three tenants that were affected, and two of them, they didn't even come with apps and backgrounds. I have no idea what their status was. I just bought the property.
Yeah.
So I think overall we fared very well, and I think Texas is faring very well because the evictions opened back up so quickly. I look at what's going on in New York and other areas, and I don't know that we're going to be able to see the same type of situation. You have to remember that about 50% of households in most of your main metros in Texas are renters.
Yeah.
And you look up north and it gets closer to 75%. And so, you know, it's interesting to watch what's happening, but I certainly am very thankful to be operating in the state in which we are.
Yes, and you hit on a couple of things. The right thing to do is to work. If you have a resident that's struggling, work with that individual. Where are you at? What can you do? I know lead investors that were sending out job fair information, businesses that were hiring when people had gotten laid off, and they were helping their residents gain employment again. So, yeah, the right thing to do is work with that tenant, find out what they're at, but that requires a communication, that requires a dialogue. That's definitely the right thing to do. And then on the other side of it is just dispelling that myth. People don't want to go through this process. I mean, they know that if they're not going to pay rent, that eventually it's going to be time to pay the piper and you're going to have to ask them to leave and they're going to have to move and find a new place. And people just don't want to do that. And if you've got a nice enough property, if you've made it best product, best price, and you fixed everything, it's got good AC, it's got great countertops, good appliances, good flooring, whether that's hardwood or carpet or what have you, and the property's in great shape, people want to live there. They want to stay there. So interesting point that you brought up about the tenants you placed versus the ones you inherited, essentially.
Yes, and you know, the other piece that I noticed too is you want to make sure that you're putting the right tenants in. Because if you're putting high quality, good employment, good credit, all those things we look for, they're a lot less likely to let one little thing ruin their credit history. Whereas if you're taking someone that has a history of being okay with paying things late in a crisis like this, and it doesn't just have to be coronavirus. It could be the death of a family member. They could be sick and off work. There's so many things in life that can cause similar results. Yeah. And so you just got to be picky with who you pick.
Life gets in the way. If you've got a great product, you can put a great person in that product. And that's a beauty. I mean, we preach that here at Lifestyles Unlimited. And I realize that not all of your clients are members of Lifestyles Unlimited. So, Leah, folks that are self-managing, and this is absolutely isn't a show against self-managing. It's a show about property management and maybe some advantages that would appeal to you to hire professional property management. And we'll teach you to self-manage at Lifestyles Unlimited. We've got a ton of information on that. But, Leah, what should people that are self-managing be aware of?
So I think one of the biggest pitfalls that I see people fall into is they place a tenant and forget it. And they brag and get so excited when they don't hear from their tenant and they don't have to deal with their tenant. And my stance is always, you want to make sure you're in front of that tenant checking on that property. And so, yes, the goal is to get a quiet, complacent, easy tenant. But that doesn't negate a landlord's responsibility to protect the investment by visiting it. So if you're self-managing, best advice I can give you, go check on your property. Do it a few times a year.
Well, Leah, that segment went by fast. Sounds like they're pushing us out on the other side. So we'll pick that up in just a sec. My name's Mike Harrison with Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're talking all things property management. We'll be right back after a short break.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you never had the time? This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. This is our last segment. I encourage you to call now if you have any questions about property management or real estate investing. I'm here with Leah Slaughter of OmniKey Realty. Our number is 855-497-4335, 855-497-4335. Or shoot me an email at askmike@luinc.com, askmike@luinc.com. Well, Leah, before we get too far in, this is our last segment. Why don't you throw out for our listener how they can get in touch with you?
Absolutely. So our phone number is 833-OMNIKEY, O-M-N-I-K-E-Y, and our website is omnikeytexas.com.
Excellent. Let's revisit one thing that we touched on early in the show, just because a lot of times folks can't listen to the entire show. And by the way, if you need to pick this show up, you can find us on your favorite podcast app. Just dial in Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Or as always, you can go to our website, lifestylesunlimited.com. Click on the radio button. You'll find this show as well as many other shows there. So, Leah, The big question for folks is, should they self-manage or should they hire professional management? And I would say this, there's an economy of scale to having a professional management company on your team. But what are your thoughts on the differences in the two and how someone should guide their decision-making?
Absolutely. I think, number one, it's about time. Do you want to be on call and do you want to have to handle all the little nuances And how many properties do you have? You know, I said earlier, and I'll say it again, you don't want to give up a expensive, high-paid job to do something that you could pay me $80 a month to do. And so it's, you know, at some point, it's going to get too big for you if you keep buying. And that's where we're here to step in and help you take it over.
Yeah, you need to scale your business up and don't work. Dell will tell you this, don't work in your business, work on your business. And so that's where you can pick up that for people. And you did touch on something. That's another big fear-based issue with folks that don't understand what we do or how we do it or why we do it, is you hear a lot of times that they think they need to self-manage because if they hire a property management company, it's going to take all of the profit out of the deal. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, a lot of property managers, I think, have created that stigma by nickel and diming every little thing. You know, a lot of competitors, they upcharge all repairs. They charge service fees for handling it. Their property management fees are a whole lot higher. And we just don't work that way. And so what's important when you're looking at property management, whether it's with us or with someone else, is to make sure you understand the fee structure. So for us, for example, we're 6.5%, and that includes our oversight of repairs. And so for, say, a $1,200 a month rental, again, we're talking less than $80 a month. And so the other piece is you want to make sure that they have the systems and the teams to be able to lower your costs. And so a company our size, even though we're family-owned and operated, we have maintenance in-house. And so we don't have to go call out a little plumber or GC or electrician for all the little items that you can easily have done in-house with a handyman. Now, of course, there's times we do have to use third parties, and that's when it becomes important that we're not upcharging their actual fees. And so, you know, property manager can be your biggest tool or your worst nightmare. It's 100% about the relationship and who you work with. The team is everything.
Right. There's a lot of dirty side to some businesses out there that feel like they need to nickel and dime the owner just to get by. And I've seen everything to where if you want to be a vendor for a property management company, you've got a, you know, there's an under the table, you know, 5% of every repair, on and on and on. So there's some, let's just say there's some jicky stuff out there. Understand who you're working with is my advice. So folks that are self-managing, anything else you want to touch on, what they should be aware of, Leah?
Definitely. I would make sure you stay up to date on the property code because it does change a lot. And fair housing. There's a lot of changes right now with the current climate on fair housing, which is going to cover who you can rent to, your applications process, all of that. And then the best guidance I can give you is be consistent. Treat every tenant the same so that every tenant is the same. And even when we come into crises like coronavirus and who knows what else is going to come next, just make sure you're consistent with what you do and expect the same every single time. And your results generally are going to be the same every single time.
Excellent advice. So, Leah, I always thought of you as a voice of the industry. You're more than a property management company. You're obviously an investor and an owner. Tell me a little bit about your involvement within the industry as a whole, because a lot of these things that come out, you're one of the first people to, at least I get my information. I see some of your social media posts, or the class that you taught at the expo was fantastic. I do consider you a voice of the industry. Tell me how you're involved within the industry, the real estate investing side of it.
Well, thank you. So we do a lot of education about property management companies and how to run one. You can go on Google and see tons of interviews and classes and things that we do within the industry, because we are one of the largest family-owned. And the reason that we do it the way we do it is because we believe it's an old school business, and it's important to have that customer service relationship. Every customer has my cell phone. And so we teach how to scale and how to grow, but how to do it the right way. I spoke on a panel here locally in Dallas at IMN a few weeks ago, and right before coronavirus hit, and a guy came up to me and said, "Hey, I'm an investor at a property management firm. We've got 5,000 doors. We haven't made a penny." And so it's those types of calls that come into me, how to make it profitable while not taking the profit out of the back of the client and running a smoother, more affordable operation. But it's also about being an investor yourself. I think it's very dangerous to call yourself and to be a property manager when you don't own investment property. And so I tell people, when you're looking for a property manager, make sure they're an investor too, so that they understand your bottom line and they understand your needs. Because someone who doesn't have stake in investment property is never going to understand that.
I love that side about Lifestyles Unlimited, and I know you work for a lot of folks that aren't members, but the roofer I call, he's typically an investor and a roofer, or the GC that I'm utilizing, or the folks that handle the hard money side of it. Well, they're not just lenders, they're also owners at the same time. And so as a group, I think it might be the most beautiful thing about Lifestyles Unlimited is every person you touch along the way is doing what you're doing to build wealth, to create that passive income. And so they're kind of, you know, pointing out the bear traps, right? They're like, don't step there, don't step there. Here's how you need to go. So that is outstanding. So Leah, what should an owner understand when they hand over control of their properties? You mentioned you have a lot of folks that have been self-managing. They might have 20, 30, 40 properties. And then they come to you and they say, hey, I'm ready for you to take over. What do they need to understand when they hand it off to you?
The biggest thing is just understand that we're going to try to be you. We're going to try to do it in your image and in the way that you've been doing it. We're going to collect all the information so that we don't have to bother you and step back. You know, a lot of people, they hand it over and they've got those personal relationships with the tenants. And so they want to kind of keep in touch with the tenants and they don't mind if the tenants call them. Well, the whole goal is to have someone take on all of that for you. So when you bring a property over for property management, whether it's with us or with someone else, be ready to let it go so that we can make it that profitable machine we want it to be. And the other piece is make sure that you understand what pieces you want us to do. You know, companies like us, we can handle just the leasing for you and get all that awesome marketing and the great background and the great strong lease in place. But you can still self-manage. So there is a transition in between the two. Mm. So a lot of people, they'll start with bringing it over for us to lease it out. We get the great strong lease in place. And then maybe in a year or two, then they're ready for property management.
Ah, I didn't know that. So you kind of offer, let's just say, an a la carte of services within property management.
Absolutely.
Huh, nice. Okay. Yes, because you do have some people that say, I'll handle the screening or I'll handle the marketing side of it, and then they'll turn it over, or vice versa. Any pet peeves that you have within the management industry or things that drive you crazy with some of the owners?
My biggest pet peeves have to do with other property managers, honestly. I told you we're the fixers, and so we see the worst of the worst. And my biggest pet peeve is that everybody thinks they're a property manager because they think they can make money at it, and they have zero experience and zero business doing it. There's no separate license for it. You don't have to take any classes for it. And so we saw it a lot when the market crashed back in 2008. Everybody wanted to be a property manager because nobody had buyers and sellers. Yeah. And the problem is it does a disservice to the industry. And then you've got people coming in charging 10, 12, 13%. And it's astronomical fees. And so my biggest pet peeve is that there's not more consistency in our business and that I have to get up here and speak about how we're so different. And I would love to see, and this is nationwide, I would love to see more teeth for property manager. I think so many areas, not Texas, but so many areas are trying to take the teeth away from being able to enforce our leases and do the things we need to do. And I would love to see that stop. I would love to see people understand that investors and rental properties make up half of our country's properties. And we needed to be treated like the big business that we are.
Yes. A few bad apples ruin it for everybody, right? And same thing as the property owner. Well, you get some psycho landlord that's a tyrant and not treating their residents properly, and it gives all the other property owners a bad name. So I'm with you. And so, Leah, 50% of folks in Texas are renters.
Dallas County is 50%, and Tarrant County is about 40%. And then some of our outlying suburbs are even higher.
Well, that's it. Well, Leah, I thank you so much for being on the show. That about does it. I want everyone to remember out there, it's not about the money. It's all about the lifestyle. Make it a great day. Until next week, my name is Mike Harrison.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.